Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
This is Anne Fox in Denmark for Absolutely Intercultural. This is show 223 of our podcast on all things intercultural. And in this show, we're going to find out how a shaman does his work, as well as first impressions of Finland when you come from Zambia. Strangely enough, it was also my first time in Finland, and we did discuss in the project team whether it was a good idea to visit in January, but we're planning to go again in June when there will be 24-hour daylight and mosquitoes out in full force, so we will get the whole range. The occasion was a small-scale conference in which the Prophesis project was wrestling with the idea of defining, measuring and creating a sustainable mindset in the teachers of home economics. One of the participants was Dr. Hosea Lupambo Shizala, a teacher trainer from Rockview University in Lusaka, and he shared with us that in Zambia you can mark your status by how much you're able to waste. This means that he's faced with a really big challenge.
So in teacher training, especially in home economics, we must help our students to see that they need to change their mindset from seeing the wastefulness as a status symbol to seeing wastefulness as carelessness.
And we'll also be talking to Mia Fox about how she stumbled across a shaman unexpectedly in Myanmar.
Well, we were just eating lunch and he did it next to us.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, yeah.
So you had to opt out, not opt in?
More or less, yeah. But it wasn't, like, it was just happening on the side. It wasn't anything extreme and scary and something everyone had to participate in. It was just him and this woman.
By the way, if you want to know more about any of the things we mention on the show, then we include all relevant links on the post for this show, which you'll find at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. And this time, we're also including a photo of the shamanistic ritual that we discuss in this show. But don't say we didn't warn you. Prepare to be underwhelmed. So I was in Finland to attend a small conference to pin down the idea of a sustainability mindset and how to promote it. Mindset is a slippery concept. We know, for example, that when learning, it's good to have a growth mindset. And when interacting with other cultures, it's good to have an empathetic mindset. In the Prophesis project, we're developing a course to help teachers promote a sustainable mindset in home economics students. But we can't expect this to happen overnight. Dr. Hosea Lupambo Chishala from Rockview University in Zambia, who came to our conference, takes the long view around our attitudes to wastefulness. Let's go absolutely long term.
So in teacher training, especially in home economics, we must help our students to see that they need to change their mindset from seeing the wastefulness as a status symbol to seeing wastefulness as carelessness.
That's a really long-term project.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I see it work very well, and I see it succeeding because you know, in teacher training, we are preparing people or individuals who will be handling young people's lives. They'll come into their hands over a long period of time, 7 years, 10 years, 12 years. That's period long enough to influence the mind of an individual. And especially that they will be handling, our teachers will be handling young ones,
mm.
it's very easy for our teachers to influence the minds of the young ones.
Yeah.
And once we manage to influence these minds, the young minds, then we are creating an era
mm.
that is going to be sustainable.
Yeah.
That is going to have a sustainable mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the goal we have.
Now, if I say the word shaman, what comes to your mind? I'm going to take a guess that whatever you're imagining now is not at all what Mia Fox experienced. As part of a backpacking trip to Myanmar, Mia Fox went on a 3-day trekking trip, staying with locals overnight and being guided by the tour guide during the day. And then, when they'd stopped for lunch, the tour guide suddenly turned into a shaman. Let's go. Absolutely shamanistic.
So we were walking with him, and he is very into meditation. And he was talking a lot about how he meditates every day, and it really clears his mind and soul, and it's really healthy for him. And then he said that through his meditation, he's become a shaman.
Did you know what a shaman was before you went to Myanmar?
Well, I had understood that a shaman was a natural healer, but that is apparently not the case in Myanmar.
Mm-hmm.
His form of shaman was, he gets witches out of people. And the witches that are in people are there because of spells that have been put on these people.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen would be that I think mostly it's women would come in and say that there's been cast a spell on them, and then they have a witch inside them. And he would then perform a ritual,
mm-hmm.
which involved... In Myanmar, they believe that their right hand is holy.
Mm.
So he would have a glass of water, and he would stir his right
index finger
in the water whilst he was chanting something I did not understand. He showed us once.
So you were invited to one of these shamanic exorcisms?
Yes, we watched whilst it was happening, which was quite an interesting experience also.
So what made you say yes to go to that?
Well, we were just eating lunch and he did it next to us.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, yeah.
So you had to opt out, not opt in?
More or less, yeah. But it wasn't, like, it was just happening on the side. It wasn't anything extreme and scary and something everyone had to participate in. Mm. It was just him and this woman. But it did look kind of special,
mm.
I would say, because he would be chanting whilst stirring his right index finger in this water, and this would make the water to some kind of medicine
mm.
that would help this woman. He would spray it on her, and I don't remember if she also drank a tiny bit of it.
Mm.
And she would be praying to Buddha, and she would be praying to him, or the shaman in him, not mm. him as a person. And then she would be sort of brushing herself, trying to get this witch out of her and the spell off of her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can tell instantly if it's worked, so I'm not sure if it worked. But it was apparently the woman's 6th time at him, and he only gives the witch 6 times to get out of the body. And if the witch does not leave this body, he has to perform a different kind of ceremony, which will then kill the witch inside the human.
Mm-hmm.
We did not see this part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
so you don't know if it succeeded or not. He didn't know.
I don't think he knew, no. I think it had to work, and then if she came back to him, he would know it didn't work, but otherwise he would just assume it worked, I think.
Okay, so are you convinced by the power of a shaman now?
Not quite. We were told that we should not worry. We would not, you know, get a spell cast on us, and we would not have a witch inside of us, because the witches who cast these spells did it out of jealousy or because of some kind of feud, and they would not have a jealousy or feud with us.
Because you were strangers.
Yeah, because they don't know us.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be usually someone you know who would cast a spell on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we weren't to worry.
It was my first time in Finland. Honestly, I have no idea how it's taken me so long to visit the country. But for me, based in Denmark, the contrast was not so sharp. However, for our Zambian participant, Dr. Hosea Lupambo-Chishala, not only was this his first time in Finland, it was also his first time in Europe. So let's find out his impressions in our segment, Absolutely Freezing.
It was my first time to be in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, first time to be in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So you came a day early intending to do a bit of sightseeing, but you didn't do that. Why was that?
You know what? When I left Zambia, we had a temperature of 29 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
When I arrived the following day in Finland, it was somewhere about negative 5 degrees.
Quite a difference.
A very big difference. And so I couldn't manage to walk around.
Mm.
Yeah, my day that I left for exploration around the town couldn't do.
Mm.
I really failed because it was extremely cold for me to be outdoors.
Yeah. And you obviously brought some warm clothes, but there was one piece of clothing missing.
Yeah. I remembered to pack a coat.
Mm.
But not knowing the importance of a head covering, head sock, scarf, yeah, what to cover my hands,
mm.
It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I was indoors the whole day, the first day. The second day, I managed to locate the shop. So I went there and managed to get what to cover my head, my hands. it was terrible.
Now, I'm interested also in the supermarket question.
Oh,
because given that this is your first time in Europe, it's also, as I said, my first time in Finland, and I don't know any Finnish, so we've both been to the supermarket. I couldn't read much of the stuff, so I was going by brand names. But I'm just wondering, did you have any impressions about that relate to maybe sustainability or anything about the supermarkets?
A lot. I'll tell you two things. Yesterday, when I went to the supermarket, city market in particular, something new. Yeah, after collecting items that I wanted to purchase from there, I went to the till, expecting to find someone to attend to me.
Mm.
To my amazement, I saw my fellow clients there going to the till on their own, self-service. Yeah, it was something strange.
I noticed the self-service, and you see it in some places elsewhere. But I didn't want to use it because I thought it would talk to me in Finnish. And I did
okay.
It talk to you in Finnish?
No. Yeah, the writings were in Finnish. So in the end, someone saw that I was struggling to complete the process of purchasing, and fortunately, she came to my aid and helped to press the numbers there, here and there. Until I managed to finish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
So would that work in Zambia?
We still have a long way.
Mm.
We still have a long way. especially that we still have a good number of consumers who are illiterate.
Mm.
So self-service in supermarkets would be a challenge.
Mm.
It's not now that that can apply.
Okay, I asked whether the machine talked to you because in some places I've met, they actually talk to you. They say, now put your item on the...
Okay.
Now pay.
It didn't.
Okay.
It was just coming on the screen.
Yeah.
So I needed to read there, but unfortunately there was no English, so I couldn't read anything there. I was... I was stranded,
yes.
So to speak. Then the other thing I observed again today, again language barrier. And I wanted to know the ingredients of the food I was buying, because home economics has taught me that I must know what I'm consuming.
Mm.
I must know the contents.
Mm.
So when I went there, it was struggle again. Pick this, I can't read anything because there is no English interpretation, the translation there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was another challenge that I faced. And sometimes I asked someone who's an attendant there. Unfortunately, he still can't. He equally can't speak to me in English. Clearly.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd struggle. I really had struggled to buy food, things from the supermarket. Yeah, but it was enjoyable. It's part of exploration, getting to know them.
Thank you to all those who took part in the show today. And if you have a story to tell, then do get in touch. Who knows, you could feature in our next show. You can contact us at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can also find the full archive of our show going back to 2006. Maybe a good idea to use the search box to find what you're looking for. We're on iTunes and we'd love you to rate us on there. We're also on Facebook, where we post intercultural links several times a week. Our next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laura Borgmann on March the 2nd. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.